I'd like to ask you to help me start off my sermon this evening by sharing in the responsive reading that's printed in your bulletin, the insert that's there. The reading is based on Psalm 107, and it's rather long for a responsive reading, which is another reason why I decided not to add to that the reading of the 10 verses from Luke. But we'll just let the psalm get us started this evening. In a sense, this psalm is made up of four smaller psalms with a three-verse introduction and a three-verse conclusion. The smaller psalms each follow a pattern. And I'm wondering if you'll notice that pattern as we read through this psalm. So let's begin. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no dwelling place. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, having rebelled against the words of God, having spurned the counsel of the Most High. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer thanks, sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away as danger increased. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people. Let them praise him in the assembly of the elders. He raises up the needy out of affliction. He makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad. All wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things and consider the steadfast love. Did you notice the pattern that I was talking about? Anybody pick up anything that sort of got repeated a couple of times? He rescued them from their distress. Yes, that's one thing. What's that? Yeah, let us thank him for his steadfast love. Anything else? Didn't know you were having a test tonight, did you? Well, let's go through this psalm and see. Each segment, each of those smaller sections, begins with a group of people in a particular need. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no dwelling place. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Some were fools through their sinful ways. Some went down to the sea in ships. Then the psalmist describes the predicament that they're in. And then each group responds in the same way. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Then the psalmist described how God met their need. And then he offers advice on how each group should respond to what God has done. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. To the third group, he adds, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. And to the fourth group, he adds, let them extol him in the congregation of the peoples. Let them praise him in the assembly of the elders. And then he ends the song by reminding us how God helps those in need, and how we would do well to notice this, to pay attention and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. As I go through that, I can't help remembering when we used to have our prayer meetings out at Permar's, and one time, I don't know how many weeks it lasted, we went through the Psalms. And as we were reading each Psalm, we were sort of looking for patterns, because patterns is the way in Hebrew that poetry works. Rhyming doesn't help very much, because in Hebrew every other word can rhyme. So to have the lines rhyme didn't really mean too much, but to have a pattern and to have the pattern repeated, that's what made the ideas sink into the minds of the people. And it also helped them to remember. You know, people would remember this psalm, even as long as it is, a lot easier than some shorter psalms, because it follows a pattern. And if you know the pattern, you can remember what the words are that go with it. But after having said all of this about the major part of the psalm, I want to go back to the beginning, to the opening words, and I want to focus now on what he says there. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Take a look at that second verse again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. With that in mind, I'd like to tell you a story. I have two stories, actually. The first story has to do with a young couple. They had just gotten married, and they had just checked into the hotel for their honeymoon. And the husband very tenderly sat his wife down on the edge of the bed, and he kneeled in front of her and looked her in the eyes and said, I love you. And if that ever changes, I'll let you know. He's now in the intensive care unit of the hospital, and I think she's working to get their marriage annulled. Nobody likes to think that someone's going to take their love for granted and only talk to them when something changes. The other story has to do with a young boy. A couple had a boy, and not the same couple, obviously. Young couple had a baby boy. This baby boy was the joy of their life. But there was only one problem. Aside from crying, which he did a lot of, he didn't talk too much. Well, for the first year, they weren't too concerned about that, because maybe he's just slow at developing. Their baby checkups went well. The doctor said he's doing okay. The 18-month checkup came, and he still hadn't said a word. The second year checkup came. The third year checkup. The fourth year checkup came, and the doctor said, "Has he said anything yet?" And the mother said, "No, he hasn't said a word. I'm really worried." He said, "Well, maybe we should get a specialist in. Maybe it's his hearing. Maybe he's not hearing anything, so he doesn't know how to talk." So they called in a specialist, and he ran tests on him. And he said, "No, he's hearing just fine. He's just not talking. All I can suggest is that you keep loving him and nurturing him, and one of these days, he'll start talking." So then on his fifth birthday, his mom decided to have a party for him. And she prepared a feast. She prepared mashed potatoes and hamburgers on the grill, and with the help of her husband, of course. All the things that she thought a five-year-old boy would like. So they're sitting there at the table, and the boy's eating his mashed potatoes. All of a sudden, out of the blue, he looks at his mom, and he says, "Mom, the potatoes are lumpy." Well, she was so shocked and so happy to hear him talk, she couldn't even find her own voice for a while. But finally, she said, "Oh, you can talk, you can talk. Son, why haven't you said anything before now?" And he said, "Well, up to now, the service has been pretty good." That's another story that sort of teaches us the importance of Thanksgiving, considering the fact that most of us only really notice anything to talk about it if it's wrong. We love to complain. We simply don't think it's necessary to give thanks. Of course we're thankful. Anyone would know we're thankful. But this is the very situation that the psalmist is hoping to avoid, as he encourages us with the words, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." Let them say that the Lord has redeemed them. Let them be thankful for the redemption the Lord has brought. And of course, in the Old Testament, redemption and salvation don't always have the kind of meaning that we put on them, the idea of going to heaven. For them, they're redeemed if they're in any difficult situation and they find a way of escape. They're redeemed if they're hungry and God provides food. That's a redemption. They're redeemed if they're on a ship at sea and it's tossed back and forth by the waves and suddenly the waves grow still. That's salvation for them. It's a momentary salvation, but it's still salvation. And the psalmist says, if God has redeemed you, if God has saved you from a situation, say so. Unfortunately, all too often, I don't know about you, but I fail to heed the psalmist's advice. There are many people who have a time of great need. In fact, I would say there's hardly a person alive today that hasn't in his lifetime or in her lifetime experienced a great need. Or they're confronted with the reality of death, the death of a pet, the death of a loved one, a family member. And they're forced to ask themselves, I wonder what happens after the grave. Is there anything after this life? Then God reaches out to them in their distress, and he helps them to see his grace and his love. Or they hear the promise of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And in a moment of passion, they joyfully surrender themselves to God. Then, happy to have escaped a very serious danger, they promptly forget what God meant to them in that moment, and they go their merry way, no worse for the wear, living as they please, believing that they now are right with God. They don't give him a second thought. Until the potatoes are lumpy, and then they complain. The only time they ever think of God, let alone talk to him, is when something goes wrong or they need something from him. But God wants us to live in relationship with him. And relationships thrive on communication. And affirmation and expressions of gratitude are a big part of that communication. No one wants to be in a marriage where someone says, "I love you," at the altar and never says it again. No one appreciates a friend who only calls on them when they need something. Our relationship with God isn't any different. Now, to be sure, God doesn't need our expressions of gratitude and thanks. He's God. He has all he needs within himself. But we need to express our thanks. If we don't, then eventually we'll take him for granted. And we might even begin to think that the only reason God exists is to answer our prayers. There's a proverb that I remember reading when I was in high school and I first began to take the Bible seriously. I told myself, I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. That was a stupid promise to make because I didn't know at the time how hard it would be to get through the book of Leviticus. I didn't really want to read about mold and mildew and bodily fluids, which is what makes up a lot of that book. But somehow I made myself go through it, and finally I got to the Psalms, which were a little bit brighter, and I enjoyed them. And then I got to Proverbs, and then I read this proverb. Open rebuke is better than love that is unspoken. And I have to admit, it made me stop and think. What he's saying in a uniquely Hebrew way, he's saying if you love someone, if you are thankful for what someone has done in your life, but you don't ever tell them, you don't ever express your thanks, you don't ever express your love, you might as well slap them in the face. Because you're missing an opportunity for both of you. That proverb makes me ask myself, when was the last time I spoke of my love and gratitude to God? Or simply thanked him for what he's done for me on a daily basis? When did I last praise him simply for being who he is? And then God says to me, don't just ask that question about me, ask it about those you love. When's the last time you told your wife, "I love you," or thanked her for something that she did, or praised her just for being who she is? And I stopped and thought for a moment, and I said, you know, God, that's why I don't like talking to you, because you always turn my words against me. Of course, I was joking. But he made a point, and the point is this. We are by nature so much quicker to express a complaint than to say thank you. I wonder why that is. Our Sunday services and the service this evening give you that opportunity. As I or one of the elders standing up there says, what have you to be thankful for today? But that's only meant as a reminder to us to do what the psalmist advised us to do at the beginning of his psalm. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. He raises up the needy out of affliction. The upright see it and are glad, and wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise will attend to these things, and we'll consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Throughout the Bible, we often encounter God encouraging us to be thankful, to express our gratitude to God in the congregation. A lot of the Psalms say that. Today's Psalm said that. To express our thanks to God, to others who also believe in Him, knowing that as a family of faith, we all benefit when any one of us is helped by God and says so. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people, the psalmist says. Let them praise Him in the assembly. We read of the same thing in the New Testament. In at least 8 of his letters, Paul makes a point of saying to the people he's writing to, "I thank my God for you." Yes, we are grateful for each other, but how often do we say so, even to God? How eager are we to share with each other our gratitude for what God is doing in our lives, especially through the people we're talking to? I know I'm encouraged whenever I hear any one of you express to me your gratitude to God. Has God recently answered a prayer in your life, met a need, shown His love in some unique way? As the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then the Bible encourages me to thank God directly, not just in my heart, but with my lips. There's something about saying the words out loud. And if you're concerned about other people overhearing you, then do what Jesus said, go in your closet and close the door. Not just during a church service where someone invites you to be thankful, not just in a liturgy where the church says it's okay and now is the time to be thankful. Tell Him in your own words, whenever it comes to mind, often and out loud. We all need to hear ourselves thanking God directly for what He's done, for who He is. When I speak my thanks to God out loud, it's as if someone who is with me is speaking their thanks out loud. My ears hear it the same way, whether it's my voice or someone else's. The spoken word, they say, has power to break bones, but the spoken word also has power to heal, to inspire, and to give life. As the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen to yourself as out loud you offer praise and thanks to God, and be blessed by your own expression of thanksgiving. And finally, the Bible tells us that it's important that we express our gratitude to God to ourselves. Paul told the Ephesian believers, be filled with the Spirit, addressing yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the Colossian believers, he said something very similar. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it as if you're doing it to the Lord Jesus Himself, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And again, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. How? And be thankful. And to the believers in Thessalonica, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And all those people who were at our prayer services out at the prayer bars are nodding their heads. Yes, we know. And the other two that go with it, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and not just to others, and not just to God. Remind yourself of what you have to be thankful for. Write it on your heart. Write it in a journal. Spend time alone and tell yourself out loud, if you can, so you can hear the words. Tell yourself what God has done for you, what He means to you. Not just because of what spoken words of thanks can do to boost your spirits and to strengthen your faith, but also because of what can happen if we forget to be thankful. Consider these warnings from Scripture. King Hezekiah was ungrateful, and as a result, he had a proud attitude, provoking God to be angry with him. Or this: for although people know God, they don't honor him as God or give thanks to him, and they become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Those on the Exodus were not thankful. Instead, they grumbled and complained, and as Paul tells us, as a result, they were killed by the destroying angel. In fact, maybe you could say that ingratitude itself was the angel that killed them, and it was a messenger sent from their own lips. So Paul says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, and then you won't be judged. And especially, we're told, as the day of our Lord draws near, that difficult times shall arise because people will become lovers of themselves and as a result will be ungrateful. It makes me wonder, am I as quick to verbalize my thanks as I am to give voice to my complaints? Am I grateful? Or am I a grumbler? Don't answer that question. I'll figure it out for myself. Fortunately, our God is a God of mercy who treats us better than we deserve. He's a God of second chances. As Jesus reminds us when he tells us, the Most High God is kind to ungrateful and evil people. Have you experienced a second chance from God? Has God treated you in your life in some ways better than you knew you deserved? Then all I can say is what the psalmist said. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell others what God has done for you. They'll be blessed. Tell God what he has done for you. He loves to hear happy words come from us. Tell yourself what God has done for you. You may need it most of all. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We often don't think to say so, but we are. You have done so much for us. And there are times in our lives when all is quiet and nothing else is distracting us, when we actually do notice the good that you have done to us, and we're grateful. Help us to be more willing to put that gratitude and thanksgiving into words. Help us who have been redeemed by the Lord to say so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.